appreciate your presence. I feel like James Brown this morning. I feel good. Why? I don't know. Just because I'm saved, okay? Because I'm old, and I'm semi-fat, and don't have no gray. It's all silver. But I'm thankful. God's put me here now in this time to be his servant. Folks, God is so good. Title of our lesson this morning comes from a song by Collective Soul. And the subtitle of that song is, Are You the Answer? It's a song they come out and cut last year. And, you know, they're kind of a rock and roll, but they got some softer stuff. But everyone, I really enjoy some of their music. And some of the words of the song and the chorus says, Are you the answer to all I need? Are you the answer for me? Are you the answer? And then Ed Roland, the guy that sings it, I just enjoy it so much. And so it made me think of, you know, answer, is Jesus the answer? Obviously, we got a song that mentions that in our songbooks. And it reminded me tremendously of... Brother Brad, thank you for that song, all the songs, but the second song specifically. But are you the answer? You know, we ask Jesus, are you the answer? And Jesus never said, I'm the answer to your all and all, even though he is. I'll help you with everything that comes your way, even though he does. I will leave you with everything you ever need to know, but he did. Jesus is the answer. But Jesus never said that specifically, but we're going to look at passages this morning, almost all red letter edition. Jesus answered. Jesus answered certain things. The longest passage we have this morning is our passage here. And you know what? I thought to myself when I copied and pasted this, I thought, you know, he says that two times, have faith in God in this passage. And then this morning, it wasn't in the bulletin that way. It started with verse 20. And so, and I said it this way, and thank you for correcting it, Brother Tom. But I looked at it and I thought, well, I know I read that. It says twice in that Bible. And I opened it up and I looked and I looked and I said, oh, I didn't paste 20 through 26 over the top of 22. But to be redundant on something, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Are you the answer for me? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now, there's a tremendous amount of great other information in this passage that we could spend the whole morning on. But our question is, are you the answer? So we're going to look at things that Jesus answered. Jesus answered and said to them, are you not therefore mistaken because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God? Book of Mark, this slide is from the book of Mark. Jesus answered and said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Mark chapter 10, Jesus says, and Jesus, are you the answer? And he answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. So as we ask Jesus if he is the answer, and we ask God, are you the answer? Are you not mistaken? Why do we ask? Because we don't read the scriptures of God that tells us he is the answer. That he is the creator. That he is the salvation. That he is our all in all. Jesus, are you the answer? Yeah? Jesus said, the Lord God is one. I am the answer. There is no other answer. I am the one. I'm the creator. I'm the sustainer. I'm the comforter. I'm the helper. I am love. I am the truth. The way, the truth, and the life. The only one way. Folks, Satan tempts us. We're going to look at the next passages from Luke about Satan and what he wants to say. Because he tempted even Jesus. But, folks, let's add to what Jesus has to say. This is what I feel he really means. This is what I think He wants me to do. Folks, we've got to know what God's holy word says. We don't want to be mistaken about the scriptures, nor the power of God and what he's promised us in our lives. Jesus ever say, go and do it on your own? You try it. You try it. No. He says, hell, let's reason together. Let's figure this out. Let's look to the Father in heaven. And because of hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. Precept about divorce, folks. Divorce wasn't because the women were taken from men, or women weren't behaving correctly, or husbands weren't behaving correctly. It was a heart issue. It was a sin issue. God had to change because of sin. What would happen if God couldn't have fulfilled his promise? God promised he will. But what happened if he hadn't changed that? How many people in the lineage of the history that we have in the Old Testament had multiple wives? People we hold in high esteem, folks. Okay? King David, King Saul. Jacob. We can go on and on and on. I could take my shoes off and count by my toes. Well over tens and tens of people. Because of the hardness of the heart, God made an exception there. But let us be careful and not assume God is going to make an exception because our hardness of heart. Because he says, I've sent my son once. Listen to him. Follow him. There is not going to be nobody else. Okay? I'm not going to touch you on the top of your head in your sleep. Listen to Jesus. Follow the Holy Scriptures. Are you the answer, Jesus? And in Matthew, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. And Jesus answered, are you the answer, Jesus? And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Are you the answer, Jesus? And he answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Now to review each and every situation in these passages, folks. Are you the answer, folks? Are we babes? Are we humbled to receive how God is directing us? I have fabulous news. I start a new job a week from tomorrow. I got my last week at my old job. Thank you for all your prayers. Those of you that prayed for me. Okay, thank you so much. But let me give you an example. Wasn't the first door I knocked, I got a job at. Wasn't the second door I knocked, I got a job at. Wasn't the third door I knocked, I got a job at. It wasn't even my top 10. Didn't even consider this company. Except for I happened to be looking on LinkedIn and a friend of mine was working at a certain place and I just said, you know what, I'll reach out and see what they're doing. Looked at their website, they were looking for a project manager. Left him a phone call, 20 minutes later, got an interview. That quick. I say that, folks, to say unless we rely on Jesus, if I'd have done it all myself, you know, did I call somebody enough? Where do I really want to work? What do I really want to do? It's tough to let God lead us sometimes. You know, I had multiple choices. I could have said no. I could have not called that person. There's a lot of it has to do with my personal choices too. But to look at it as a blessing from God, okay, opportunity, as I was talking to Brother Tony this morning. He said, you nervous? I said, oh yeah. It's a little different company. They're going to run things a different way. I'm going to be working for a bunch of young guys, you know. I told him, you can teach old dog new tricks. I got to go in there. But I can help. They want me to come in and help the company. I'm excited about it. And there's a whole bunch of people that I've never met and shared my faith with yet. It's going to open up all kinds of other avenues, you know. I have to be humble in order for God to use me wherever He wants me to be. And even if the choice is within the choices I've made. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood is not revealed to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And Simon Barjona said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Are you the answer? Yes, Jesus is the answer. And I know our world, this month, Jesus is the reason for the season. But folks, He's the reason for life. That season should be 24/7, 12 months of the year. We mentioned a little bit about Christmas songs here in the last week, talking to some brothers and sisters in Christ, you know. Why we don't sing Joy to the World all year long. We let the world rob us, tell us what time we ought to sing that song, you know? It's just like that song you sang this morning, Brother Brad. Heaven come down and fill my soul. That song was sung real close to after my baptism. Reminds me of going into that lake, September 22nd in Michigan, Clifford Lake, because the baptistry wasn't kept up where I went. So we went to the lake, and it was fresh. But it was a great day. It was a great day. But that song is sung a lot of times after somebody's baptized in Christ. But why not sing it as we worship and fellowship together? Thank you, Brother Brad, for bringing that to light. Stereotyping songs, you know. Take heed that no one deceives you. Folks, let's not stereotype Jesus. He is the great I am. He has the power to help us, raise us up, to feel good. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na, just like I should. You know, why should James Brown have all the fun? Well, he's gone now, I think. But, didn't he pass away? I think he did. But you know, you think of that song, folks. Jesus died to set us free from sin. From cares, from worry, from strife. Now, we're still going to have them, but how we approach them in the freedom that is in Christ. And if it's sin that's bonding us, and we're slaves to sin, we need to let go of it and we need to repent of it. Because Jesus is the answer. He is the freedom from those things that hinder us from not enjoying life. Life's a beautiful gift. If you think life is a trial and a test, you know, how many of us like to take a test? Anybody? See, we don't have very many school kids in here, you know, but we got a few that's in college, taking college courses, but you know. No, I don't like to take a test. I don't like to go renew my driver's license. You know, that's a test. I don't like to fill out forms at work. But then we think life's a test. Life's a gift. God's created us. He didn't create us as a test. He created us in His image. To bring glory to Him. Because He's the answer. And in the book of Luke, Jesus, are you the answer? And Jesus answered and said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word of God. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and only Him shall you serve. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus, are you the answer? Yes. Satan wants to say no. No, you can get away with not reading God's word, not be filled in the Spirit, not put some fuel in your tank. Okay? I want to preach a lesson, but I use it so often as an example, you know, about fuel in your tank. Folks, if you feel like you're sitting in the car on the interstate and you don't have no gas, your tank's empty. Now, maybe Brother DC will come along and give you a little bit of fuel for that tank. Maybe Brother Brad, Brother Tom, Sister Missy. I just go around the room, but, you know. Maybe somebody will come along and give you some fuel to get you back here. Get you back in the Word. Don't look at that as a criticism when someone says, hey, where you been? Let's make sure when we ask where you been, it's because I love you and I want you back here and I want you to put some fuel in your tank. Not that I want to be all up in your business. Okay? We don't, folks, we don't need to be in each other's business. We got enough to worry about our own business. Okay? Jesus is the answer, not other people's business is the answer. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Jesus healed 10 people. Only one came back, folks. And I'd like to say that of all of us that Jesus has healed, we're all coming back. 100%. But let's make sure we're not one of the 9. We can help each other a little bit, but folks, it's up to ourselves whether we follow Jesus or not. I can help my wife, and she can help me a little bit. I can help her a little bit. I don't want to make that sound like I help her more than she helps me. Okay? That right, Adam. Folks, we got to follow Jesus on our own. She doesn't drive back and forth to work with me. She doesn't go to work with me and know my struggles, what I'm tempted with. She doesn't know how many times, my wife doesn't know how many times in a day I got to say, Satan, get behind me, for whatever reason. Don't be a 9, be the 1. Don't be one of the 9, be, because Jesus is the answer. Only one person out of 10 said, you're the answer. I'm going to come back and thank you. One of the ways we come back and thank him, being here. I thank you, Jesus. I believe in you. I know it's right for me. It's for me. It's for me. It's for me. Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And you know what? He said this to the righteous people of that day. But I'll tell you personally, folks, I'm one of the sick. I've been cleansed by his blood. And it humbles me to say, I need him. I need him. Because what's the danger in saying, I'm okay. I don't need your help, Jesus. You're not the answer. I'm going to do it on my own. I'm going to make my own decisions. I don't need to have my tank filled. I don't need to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. Satan, get behind me. I'm sick. I need your help. Jesus' blood cleanses us every day, every second of our lives. And whether it's one small sin in my life and 50 large sins in my son-in-law's life. See, I'm just using that as an example. Because he loves me. We're good. Or it's one small sin in his life or 50 in mine. That blood cleanses us. Folks, it's a very large example. But we still need him. We need him every day in our lives. How do you get Jesus into your life, folks? You either got to be talking to him, praying to him, or you got to be opening his holy word. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things that you have seen and heard, that the blind see and the lame walk and the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear and the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them." Are you the answer, Jesus? Yes. Nobody in the history of this world has been as good and great and helpful as Jesus when he was here. Nobody. Nobody even comes close. It's very humbling to me to read this passage and remember the power he had and how he cares for people and what he did for us on the cross and what he did while he was here to prove that he was the Son of God. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Ah, but Mary has chosen that which is beneficial," right? Folks, let's not get too wrapped up in our precious lives that are fun, that are great, that have joy. Let's not feel so good, that we don't need Jesus. That we don't need our tank filled. Let's not get our tank filled by something other than Jesus. We're doing good. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him. And he would have given you living water." Verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst." Will never thirst. Now, folks, I brought a bottle of water today. Brother Evan brought a bottle of water today. We get thirsty. And it's written that he that should hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. But what Jesus was saying here is that I am him. I am the answer. I'm that person you've been looking for. Because they talk about worship, it's a woman at the well. They talk about, we know somebody's coming. We believe in them. Even though we're not part of your group. We're not part of the Jews. We still believe in the Messiah. And that's the neat thing about Jesus too, folks. He's the answer for everybody. That's how much truth and value there is in him. He's the answer for everybody. He is God Almighty in the flesh that came. Jesus answered, "Are you the answer, Jesus?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." So what type of people, what answer were the people looking for in this passage? Were they looking for Jesus and a Savior and eternal life? No, they're just looking for the next meal. They're just looking for the next meal. Folks, let's make sure that we're one of the 10, not the 9. Let's be wise in helping people that come looking for their next meal to find the real Jesus. Because even if they come just looking for the next meal, Jesus is the answer. Jesus answered and said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent." That sounds simple and easy, doesn't it? But Jesus, are you the answer? Yes, I am. But I'm pointing you to the Father. Same thing when folks look at our lives. I know Jesus is the answer, but he did what the Father wanted him to do. Same thing with us in our lives. just as Paul said, I do all things, okay? Imitate me as I imitate Christ. How can somebody imitate us if we're not imitating Christ? Jesus answered and said to them, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. That kind of goes in line with this other passage and why I brought it in. Folks, even Jesus, with all his power and his might, and in reading for this lesson, I come upon there's a passage that said, Jesus was made better than the angels, better than anybody that's ever known, because he followed the Father. And it talks about Satan not following the Father. And it talks about Jesus was made a little high. Actually, I read the whole book of Hebrews this week. I almost had a lesson in Hebrews, and I'm like, I did that about 6 months ago. But anyways. But they're talking about those things and how great Jesus was and how faithful he was to his Father. That's tough to do. That's tough to do. Hannah, have you always done everything that I really wanted you to do as a dad? You're coming up front. No, actually, when the invitation comes. I'm just kidding. Brad, same thing with your children. You love them to death. Phil, all of us have kids. Folks, we love them to death. And they do a lot of good things, and they bring a lot of joy to us. Jesus did exactly everything he was supposed to do. It's amazing. That's why he's the answer. That's why he's the answer. That's why he's the all in all. Folks, that's why Jesus should be the reason for our lives being joyous. I feel good today because of Jesus. That's why. I just told myself. I asked the question. I don't know. I'll be in good. It's because of Jesus. What he's done for me, folks. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part of me. Jesus answered him in John 13, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me 3 times. Folks, Peter is one of the greatest examples we have in the New Testament. You know? Any of you ever cut somebody's ear off with a sword? No? How many of us have denied Jesus? Jesus, I don't want your blood. I don't want you to wash me. I don't want you today. You're not my answer today. Folks, we need to fall on our knees if we feel that way. I'm just telling you, it's dangerous. Dangerous. To say, Jesus, I don't want you today. I don't want your help today. You're not the answer for me today. There's times in our lives we're tempted with that, folks. We are. Guess what? So was Peter. Because Peter said, I don't know him once. I don't know him twice. I don't know him 3 times. But he did some weeping. He did some praying. He came to himself and was a great servant for the Most High God. Folks, it's going to happen in our lives. Hopefully you don't deny him 3 times. But if you do, be encouraged that Jesus used Peter as an example for us thousands of years later. That you can arise because Jesus is the answer yesterday, today, and forever. He never gives up on us. He never gives up on us. Folks, there's people in our lives that we've given up on. Or have given up on us. But let me ask you this. If I drive down the road every day back and forth to work and I don't give up on anybody that I pass by,
if I pray for every stranger I drive by? Just a thought, folks. Because you know what? Jesus isn't giving up on anybody. He's not giving up on anybody. Now, we don't want to become part of somebody else's drama and have them drag us away from the kingdom of heaven. But it doesn't mean we can't give up on people. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." That's simple, right? Huh? Been married 29, going on 29 years, okay? We still got to work on our relationship. We couldn't even decide who's putting a tree up last night. Well, we could. I thought she was going to, and she thought I was going to. That's how that worked. Until we had a bonding moment, a little focused feedback with each other, we realized that we probably got to work together. There got to be a little concession there. Isn't that something, you know, something crazy about putting a tree up? But folks, people have thrown their faith away because of putting a tree up for a holiday. Folks have thrown their marriage away. I've had enough. Folks, true love doesn't give up. True love doesn't give up. True love helps us replace ourselves with God. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you now believe?" He answered this, folks, he asked us this question. Am I the answer in your lives this morning? Our lesson this morning, are you the answer? I'll let you know, Jesus is the answer. But I can only make him the answer in my life. You have to make him the answer for yours. Is there anything in the lesson this morning that's helped encourage you? I hope starting out this new week. Please remember that Jesus is the answer for our lives and everybody else. He never gives up on us. If you need the prayers of the congregation or you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, as Jesus asked us to do, we offer that invitation as we stand and sing the selected hymn.